This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant lawyer and business thinker in healthcare, Joe Wolf. And Joe's going to talk to us today about the new value-based rules and what those might mean in healthcare and tell us more about that. Joe, as we get started, can you take a moment and first just take a moment to introduce yourself?
Great. Thanks, Scott. I'm excited to be on here today. My name is Joe Wolf. I'm a shareholder with Hall Render. We're a boutique national healthcare law firm. I lead up Hall Render's health regulatory practice group. I'm approaching 20 years representing healthcare organizations nationwide myself. I'm also very involved in a number of trade associations and try to stay on top of evolving changes in healthcare and work with clients all across the healthcare spectrum.
Thank you. And tell us about sort of the value-based care regulations, what's going on. Give us a sense of that and what that means for providers, payers, and more.
Well, first of all, the value-based rules under Stark and Kickback are a tremendous opportunity for healthcare organizations. You know, as we think about engaging in value-based care and trying to develop models focused on value-based care, of course, that involves incentives, and those incentives needing to be, you know, directed towards things like care coordination or improvements in quality or containment of costs for a payer, or driving and enhancing change in healthcare delivery and payment models. That often involves incentives, you know, whether that's a hospital providing incentives to physicians or ACOs or other types of entities engaged in healthcare, trying to incentivize behaviors that drive that kind of change. So these new rules help protect those types of incentives under the fraud and abuse law, Stark and Kickback, and really are a game changer as we think about how we might redesign healthcare. And the government gave lots of examples when the rules were changed around things that healthcare organizations could be doing that maybe they hadn't thought about before, you know, finding tests with that may work better to find and cure issues earlier, trying to enhance care models and incentivizing physicians to participate in those care models. Just lots of new opportunities under these rules. Government's trying to encourage healthcare organizations to take on risk. And if they're not ready to take on risk, they still can encourage care coordination, quality, and cost controls to payers in that transition without taking on risk at this point if they're going in the future to try to take on that risk. So really exciting a set of rules. I'm happy to dig in a little more and give more specifics, but these rules have been around since 2021, and healthcare organizations are really getting into it now. Beyond just dipping their toe in it, they're actually building models that are focused on value-based care.
And so what does that look like for a mid-sized health system, a larger health system? Does that mean different relations with their physicians? What does it likely mean?
What it likely means is if they're trying to engage in innovation, they're using these rules as another layer of protection for existing type arrangements, or they're getting in to the mix with more creative models. And I think it could mean a lot of things. I mean, one, you know, we might go back 15 years plus, and we were thinking of, you know, co-management, ways to engage physicians in trying to enhance service lines. This could be an opportunity to look at a specific problem, maybe physicians not collaborating along the continuum of care, and maybe patients not following along the care continuum. Now you could develop kind of comprehensive models where there's some aspect of sharing, some type of quality or care coordination among those two types of physician groups. The government talked about hospitals providing care coordinators to physician groups so that the patient comes through and follows the continuum of care as another example. As we think about how to get kind of creative in this space, I think there could be opportunities to develop pooled compensation models where physicians and advanced practice providers pool compensation in different ways to encourage them to collaborate rather than to compete as well. The government's talked about some organizations, like you mentioned, a mid-sized healthcare organization providing things like data analytics to physician practices in the market. I mentioned care managers, the provision of medical technology, all driven towards sort of solving a solution for a couple of key requirements. There's sort of a beginning of the framework, and that's, Scott, that you've identified a partner, and the partners are, let's say, a hospital and a physician in the community. That's the value-based enterprise. The target patient population is the patient base you're trying to solve the problem for. The value-based activities are what you're actually encouraging. What kind of behavior do you think will enhance care in the market? And then are you trying to achieve or driving towards a value-based purpose? And the value-based purpose are those things I talked about earlier: care coordination, quality, cost containment, and transitioning from volume towards value. And I'll give you the one really good example the government gave, which I think answers your, you know, mid-size hospital question, is the government said, hey, we have a hospital. The hospital believes that patients are receiving a single modality cancer screening in our market, but a dual modality cancer screening would be better. So the hospital develops a value-based enterprise with the community physicians in the market, encourages them for a period of time to order this dual modality cancer screening because it has the support of trade associations and is viewed as a better test in the market. And then the hospital pays those physicians $10 for each dual modality cancer screening that they order in order to drive adherence with this hospital's revised care protocol, and then also to improve the quality of care for patients in the hospital service area. And it just shows how you can actually solve problems with these new rules as well.
Right, and some of those problems used to be very hard to solve under the Stark and kickback rules, and this provides a little more flexibility for some of those things.
It does. There's sort of some foundational questions. You have the ultimate flexibility if you're in a full risk model with a payer now, and that means that you've assumed financial responsibility for the total cost of all patient care items and services covered by a payer on a prospective basis. So if you have a target patient population and you have full risk there, you're going to have lots of flexibility under the rule to develop downstream incentives. You know, a second category, if you're not in a risk environment like that, you can develop a second kind of model where the physicians in under the model take on substantial risk themselves. And that means that you put 10% of the compensation that the physicians receive at risk in the form of a bonus or withhold and towards the achievement of these kind of value-based activities, solving that problem, Scott. And then the third is model that you can use under the Stark side is a no-risk model, and that protects situations where you develop a model, you're not putting dollars at risk under that model, but you check in on the model annually in order to make sure it's still achieving those kind of value-based purposes and achievement of those value-based activities. So there's no aspect of risk, but there is a design concept. And the test for this is somewhat, the bar is not that the value-based purpose you develop has to work. It just has to be reasonably designed to achieve a value-based purpose. So healthcare organizations can be innovative, design new models, use these rules to protect them. And if they check on the model annually, revalidate that it's working, if it's not, adjust it, they should have some protection for, again, these kinds of incentives for creative solutions that the government is hoping that we encourage. You know, eventually trying to drive organizations into a risk platform, but knowing that maybe we're not there yet. So that's how the rules are kind of fit together.
Joe, thank you so much. Tell us where people can learn more about these rules and where they could learn more about Joe Wolf and your firm and Bill Thompson and the other leaders there.
Definitely. You can check out our website at www.hallrender.com. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. Again, Joseph Wolf, Joe Wolf at Hall Render on LinkedIn. I'm very active, post almost daily on social media related to these value-based rules. I try to take it on a piece at a time each day and make it a bit more digestible because, of course, there is some complexity. But that's one way you can get in front of this information. Check out our website, reach out on LinkedIn, reach out to me directly. I'd be happy to connect with any of you. My email address is jwolf@hallrender.com. But that's how you can learn about us and our firm and really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Joe, always a great pleasure to visit with you and your colleagues. Thank you so much for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thank you very much.
Take care.